starting a brand new sermon series entitled The Passover, and there'll be three sermons in the series, and the first of those three this morning is we're going to be looking at the lamb, and then next week the bread, and then Palm Sunday we'll look at the blood, all key elements in the Passover celebration of the Jews, and all elements that have strong pictures as to the salvation that God provides through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I trust that you'll make up your mind this morning that you're going to be here for the next three consecutive Sundays and that you'll get everything that God has for you out of this sermon series. But really the key to Exodus chapter 12 as it discusses the Passover, the key to it is the lamb. That is really the primary thing regarding the Passover. And the Passover marks the birth of the nation of Israel. Because this is when they left Egypt and really when they became solidified as their own nation. In fact, Jews, this event, the Passover, is so significant. Jews have a religious calendar and then they have a civil calendar. And their religious calendar begins with Passover. Okay, so you get an idea as to how important this event is. And indeed, because it was a new beginning for the children of Israel. And if you have accepted Christ as your Passover lamb, then it'll be a new beginning for you spiritually as well. But it's all about the lamb. And the death of the lamb marked a new beginning for them. And the death of Christ, when we receive it, marks a new beginning for those who have accepted it. And so as we look at this passage this morning, let's take a look here at Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 2 this morning. Notice what it said. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. You see, it was the start of a new calendar. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, this is where that song, the lyrics for that hymn are taken from. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. As we contemplate this passage this morning, I would submit to you, as we look at the Lamb, who is the central figure of the Passover season and what took place there that night, I would submit to you that you must accept Christ as your Passover Lamb. You must accept Christ as your Passover lamb. You know that death that night was to come upon all that didn't have the blood. You know, in the same way, that is a picture of our condition as human beings with sin in our life. Romans 3:23 declares to us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We are all in danger of the wrath of God, even as those in Egypt that night so long ago were in danger of the death angel passing over and taking their firstborn. We are all in jeopardy. Romans 6:23 declares to us, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, you know what's interesting is that God specified that it was the firstborn that would be taken in a house that was not covered by the blood. And you know, in truth, all of us this morning are firstborn into the human race. We have all had one birth into the human race. But if we undergo the second birth that Jesus talks about in John chapter 3. You remember when he was conversing with Nicodemus? In fact, let's turn over and look at that passage this morning. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, look at verses 6 and 7. Jesus declares, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." See, Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born a second time. You see, we have all been born into the human race. We have that first birth that Jesus explained to Nicodemus. But it is imperative that we be second born and not the firstborn, if we are to be able to go and spend eternity with God in heaven, if we are not to face the wrath of God, even as those in Egypt did on that night that the firstborn was taken. So you must accept Christ as your Passover lamb. And I want to look at three things this morning about the lamb. The first thing I want you to notice about the lamb is that it was a specific lamb. It was a specified lamb. And if you will, look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 5. And notice what is said here. Your lamb, you notice that? "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." I want you to notice, if you would, the progress and how the lamb is referred to from verse 3 down to verse 5. In verse 3, it says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb." Okay? Then, look at verse 4. "And if the household be too little for the lamb." But then look at verse 5. "Your lamb shall be without blemish." Isn't that an interesting progression that takes place there? A lamb, the lamb, and then your lamb. You know, the same can be said of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the angels announced His birth, they said, "For unto you is born this day a Savior." Right? Then another passage in Luke speaks of Him as being the Savior of the world. But you need to know Him in the same way that Mary knew Him when she declared that she rejoiced in God her Savior. Can you say this morning that He's your Savior? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because listen, that is the only way, that is the only way that you'll be able to be saved this morning. That's the only way He can be your Passover, if He is indeed your personal Savior. We must each be able to say this morning that He is my Savior. An author tells this story. He says, his father was a preacher, and he would often tell a story about a little boy who was desperately ill. His parents recognized that the little boy would probably soon die. And so they sent for the local pastor to come and see their ailing child. The pastor came by night to visit the child, and the child, taken by the illness, was coming in and out of consciousness. The boy was unable to speak, and apparently never spoke a word to the pastor as they sat there and spoke that night. The pastor was alone in the room upstairs with the child, and he left late that night. He returned early the next morning after the boy had passed. He did his best to console the parents, and he prayed with them. He grieved with them. Later, the parents asked the pastor if he had any explanation for something that had happened that evening after he left. They told the pastor that in the hours before their son died and at the time of his death, he was holding his ring finger, one hand holding the other hand with the ring finger. And the boy died in that position. It was then that the pastor explained what he had said that night in the child's room. He'd wanted to explain to that child the importance of accepting Christ. And he wanted to do it simply in language that a child could understand. And he told the parents that he had taken their son's hand. He first held the thumb and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." This represents the, because we're talking about a one-of-a-kind Savior. Then he held the next finger. "Lord is." And then, of course, the ring finger was the finger that indicated "my shepherd." The preacher explained that to the parents that night, and what great comfort it brought to them, realizing that even though that boy had not communicated or spoken with the pastor, obviously he had understood enough that he wanted Jesus to be his personal Savior. And my question to you this morning, is He your personal Savior? He can't be a Savior. He can't be the Savior. He has to be your Savior this morning. It was a specific Lamb, a personal Lamb, the specified Lamb. You know, I'm glad this morning that the Lord is my shepherd. Amen? But He's more than my shepherd this morning. He's also my Lamb. Is He your Lamb this morning? Is He your Passover Lamb this morning? Not only is He the specified Lamb, but I want you to also understand He is the sacrificial Lamb this morning. Verse 6 of Exodus chapter 12 declares, "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." Now, certainly a living lamb running around in the Jews' area there in the camp of Israel, that was a wonderful thing, right? A beautiful thing. But that wouldn't save anybody. In order for the lamb to have any kind of effectiveness that evening, that lamb had to be slaughtered. That lamb had to be killed. And in the same way, we're not saved by Christ's example or by His life. We are saved through the death of Jesus Christ. It was His sacrificial work on the cross that makes salvation possible. Now, no doubt this seemed foolish to the Egyptians. And we're even told in the New Testament that the idea that Christ and His blood can save someone, that preaching is foolishness to this world. But my friend, they saw that night when the judgment of God passed over that place that it was only those that had the blood on their doorpost that were safe from the judgment. It was the sacrificial work that protected them. And in the same way, it's the sacrificial Lamb, Jesus Christ, that can save a sinner like you and save a sinner like me. You know, it's interesting as well when it speaks about the articles that are attached to the Lamb when it speaks of the sacrifice there. God speaks of Israel killing it, not them, lambs. No, it's a singular lamb, because there is only one Passover lamb per family. And in the same way, just as a singular Passover lamb is referred to there in Exodus 12, there's only one lamb that can save us today. And that is Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God. I want you to see this passage. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. In God's eyes, when He looked at Israel, when He looked at the sacrifice, the Passover. It wasn't those lambs. He looked at each one individually, and that's because the Passover lamb is singular. And that's because there's only one Savior. Jesus Christ is our spotless lamb. And 1 Peter chapter 1 declares this. It ties the imagery of the Passover with what Christ has done on the cross. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18, he declares, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb." And listen to the terminology that's used. "Without blemish and without spot." That was the same kind of phrasing that was used for the Passover and used for the other sacrifices that Israel would give to God. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ is our spotless lamb. You know, the way that the lamb was prepared and everything pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may remember in John chapter 19, when Jesus is dying on the cross, they come by, and as was their normal custom, they would break the leg of prisoners that had not yet died because they didn't want to leave the bodies up on the cross as Passover was going to begin that evening. And so the soldiers coming by to hurry things up were ready to break the legs of those prisoners that had been crucified on the cross. But you remember when they got to Jesus, they did not break his leg because he was already dead. Instead, they took that spear and they pushed it up. And you remember the soldier said that blood and water came out from the wound that Jesus Christ had, but his bones were not broken. And I want you to understand that that is significant. Look at verse 46 of Exodus chapter 12. As the instructions are given for the Passover, it declares, "In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof." You see, Jesus is our Passover lamb. And we see so many different pictures from the Passover in Exodus chapter 12 to what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. He is our lamb without a bone of him broken. He is our lamb without spot and without blemish. I hope this morning indeed that you can say he is your Passover lamb. He is the sacrificial lamb. In an old German city, the author relates that there's a sight that attracts every traveler as he passes through. And here's what the sight is. Up on the rooftops of this city, among those old houses, if you look up in the right place, you will find a marble statue of a lamb carved and lifted up. A traveler passing through that village 2 or 3 years ago inquired of one of the people of the city what that lamb meant. Why was this monument here? To which the townsperson replied, "There is a curious story connected with it. When the first owner of this house was building it, he was working way up just where you see that object. And then suddenly slipping and losing his footing, he fell from the roof, and he would have been dashed to pieces and died except for this strange occurrence that took place. Just at that moment, as he fell off the roof, his pet lamb happened to be on the green grass below him. That man fell with all his weight on the lamb. The lamb was crushed and died. But when the man rose to his feet, he was unharmed, unscratched, not a bone broken, not a bruise received. But he found his lamb there lying in blood, crushed beneath the weight of the fallen master." And that's why the man, so grateful to the sacrifice of that lamb, had put that monument, that marble statue, up on the rooftop. You know, in the same way, Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb, he has broken our fall of sin if we will accept his gift of salvation. Now, it came at a great price to him. He was crushed. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. But this morning, if you'll accept him as your sacrificial lamb, as your only way to heaven, then according to the Word of God, when that time of judgment comes, even as it did that night in Egypt, then when God sees the blood of the Lamb, He will pass indeed over you. This morning, it's a specified lamb, and it's also the sacrificial lamb. But then lastly this morning, I want you to understand that Christ is the sustaining lamb. You know, this is an area of the Passover and the types and the pictures that are there that many people leave out. But I think it's important to understand this. Look, if you will, at verse 39 of Exodus chapter 12. It says, "And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual." I want you to understand that after that angel passed over and Egypt began to wake up that night and realize the horror of what had happened, that by not putting the blood on their doorpost, that they had killed the firstborn of their households, they told Israel to leave. And they wanted them to leave quickly. And they departed so quickly that they didn't even have time to let their bread rise. And that's part of the unleavened bread that we see in the Passover celebration. But I want you to understand this. That Passover lamb that they had eaten that night, as was given in the instructions, not only did it save them that night, but it sustained them on their journey out of Egypt. You know, and in the same way, Jesus Christ, He wants to save you this morning, but He wants to go much further than that. He wants to sustain you on your journey through life as you follow after God and strive to become a more pleasing in His eyes. He is the Passover Lamb. Not only does He want to save you from the judgment of God, but He wants to sustain you along the journey of life. That Passover Lamb gave them strength and nourishment for their trip as they would leave out of Exodus. You know, they were instructed not to keep it after, towards morning. There weren't supposed to be leftovers. And you know, in the same way, you can't live off leftovers in your Christian life as well. You have to be daily feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ. And how can you do that? Well, by getting into the Word of God and allowing the Passover Lamb to nourish you as you go on your journey. This is where the nutrients are. This is where you'll get the strength to be sustained on your journey through life. You know, it's interesting. They call the different caterpillars that there are. Their common name comes from what they feed on. For instance, there's a cabbage butterfly. And guess what the cabbage butterfly eats? Cabbage, right? Then there's an alfalfa butterfly. It eats alfalfa. The monarch butterfly feeds exclusively on the plants of the milkweed family. And often it's called the milkweed butterfly. So you can tell, or you can call a caterpillar, or identify it by what it eats. And I wonder this morning, What kind of person are you? What kind of things do you feed on? If we were to label you by the spiritual things that you feed on in your life, what would your identification be? What would you be identified as on the basis of what you feed on? Is Jesus Christ the Passover Lamb? Is He sustaining you on your journey, on your pilgrimage? Or are you living off the junk food of the world? Are you allowing the goodness of Christ and God's Word to nourish you? Or do you consume a steady diet of worldly entertainment and never have time for God? My friend, I want you to understand, God wants to do much more than simply save you. Maybe many years ago, you came to Christ and you understood that you were a sinner. You kneeled at the cross and you said, "I'm unworthy of salvation, but God, if you can save me, I'm asking you to save me right now, and I'm taking you at your word." And maybe you've accepted that gift of salvation. But maybe since then, maybe you haven't done a whole lot to get close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you never read your Bible. Maybe you never pray. Listen, that is not how God intends the Christian life to be lived. He wants to save you, but He also wants to sustain you on your journey. Listen to this old story. It's an ancient fable. It tells about some travelers that were traveling at night. And they came to a dry creek bed. And as they were traveling in the dark and could not see well what was going on, they reached this dry creek bed and they can hear something under their feet. And they hear a voice that says, "Pick up as many as you can." And so they bend down and began picking up the pebbles off the bottom of the creek bed. And they went on their journey. And they also heard, as they were picking up the pebbles, the voice that instructed them to pick it up said, "You'll be both glad and both sorry when daylight comes." Well, they wondered what all this meant and who would have said that or what it would have been. But they picked up what they could. And when they finally made it to morning, they looked in their pockets to see what they had picked up. And they realized that it wasn't just rocks, but that it was all kinds of jewels, diamonds and emeralds and all kinds of precious stones. And they were glad. They were glad that they had listened to the voice and picked up some, but they were also sorrowful that they did not pick up more. And you know, I believe that our study of the Word of God is going to be the same day when we come to the end of our life. We'll be glad that we did spend the time and that we did get the truths that we got, but we'll be sorrowful because we did not mind the Word of God for more of the treasure that was there right in front of us. You know, it's free for the taking this morning. I hope that you'll make up your mind not to just allow Jesus Christ to save you, not just to accept His gift of salvation and then go on about your way, but I hope that you'll allow Him to sustain you in your life. If you don't spend time with God every day, you're missing vital nutrients for your Christian walk. And you know what? You're cheating yourself out on the greatest treasure that the world has ever known. Allow Him to sustain you in your day-to-day walk. If you don't spend time in God's Word, make up your mind that tomorrow you're going to start, that you're going to read your Bible in the morning, that you're going to spend some time in prayer before going about your day-to-day things. And as you do that, you know what you'll be doing? You'll start picking up some of those precious stones from the Word of God. And you'll allow the Lord Jesus Christ to sustain you on your journey. So this morning, I hope that you will accept Christ as your Passover lamb. He's the specified lamb. He's the sacrificial lamb. And He indeed is the sustaining lamb. You know, under the Old Testament system, every worshiper, when they brought their sacrifice, they had to bring their own lamb. They had to go separate it from the flock. They had to inspect it, make sure it was up to par. They had to bring that lamb. If you didn't have a lamb, then you had to go buy a lamb. You couldn't borrow a lamb, right? You had to either have it of your own flock or you had to go buy the lamb. And by the way, no one could give Him that lamb. He had to provide His own lamb. But the wonderful thing, my friend, is that in the New Testament, everything changes. And now God has provided the Lamb. All that is necessary is for us to reach out and accept that gift of salvation and accept Christ as our Passover Lamb. Turn to one last scripture with me. I want you to see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We're going to look at this passage a little bit more next week and explore what the unleavened bread is all about. But I want you to notice very plainly what the Word of God says regarding how what has taken place in the New Testament, how it relates to what took place in Exodus chapter 12. It says there at the last part, the last phrase in verse 7, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." My friend, Christ is our Passover lamb. And this morning, I hope that indeed that you can say, not that He's a lamb, or not that He's the lamb, but that you can say that He's your Passover lamb. this morning.